Right now it's nearly 11:30 a.m. Time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals. As always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. It's the Hot Club of Cowtown with a piece called Red Bird on WMNF. That's the Hot Club of Cowtown with Red Bird, an animal song of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa and streaming live on the internet via the station's fabulous website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show seeks to learn about animals and animal issues and celebrate animals you can readily glean. Care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, and we're podcasting on iTunes, baby, including all our programs on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition once again extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life. With the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest Leslie Griffith, a veteran TV journalist who's won a boatload of awards, including 9 Emmys. She also won awards and acclaim for a television piece she did on Ringling Brothers and its abuse of Asian elephants. Additionally, she's written about Ringling for such online outlets as Huffington Post and Truth Out. So with Ringling opening its Tampa engagement tonight, we'll be quite timely to speak with Leslie about Ringling and its treatment of animals, as we'll do in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. And as usual, of course, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Briefly now, part of our typical animal news and announcements segment. On a very related note to today's show, there will be a Ringling protest this Saturday, January 5th at 1:30 p.m. at the St. Pete Times Forum. And once again, same sort of setup for the following day, Sunday, January 6th at 7 p.m. So perhaps as this show unfolds, you may want to jump into either of those, Saturday, January 5th at 1:30, Sunday, January 6th at 7 p.m. Just show up, and people will have materials and guidance and whatever to participate in that. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Brian Regan with a piece called Flipper and Gentle Ben on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
I watched a lot of Flipper growing up. Flipper, he was something. Always saving people. Every show he'd go save some more. I save some people! For that, they would throw him a dead fish. Hey, thanks. Thanks for saving people. He was always doing that backwards dance, 3/4 out of the water. Man, that was cool. Imagine if you could do that. That'd impress some people at the public pool, you know? Just go, hey, how y'all doing? You know? Just skip across the top of the pool without getting your bathing suit wet and hop up on the other side. Hey, what's happening? And just grab a little towel, wipe off your feet. Yeah, it's a little colder than I thought. Wow, who's that guy? I thought, to be fair, they should have also had a bad dolphin, you know? Zipper! Big scar across his head. I'm moving safety buoys around. Deal with that, Flipper! Out chewing tobacco. Ah, Zipper surly. He is uncaring. How about that show, Gentle Ben? Do you remember that show? About a big friendly bear. There's a good thing to teach kids. Hey, bears are friendly. Go up and let them give you a big hug. Put some honey on your face. Let them lick it off. Bears love kids with honey on their heads. They love honeyhead kids. Hey, Gentle Ben, where's Bobby? Bobby. Ben's wearing Bobby's hat. I don't know where he is. Picking his teeth. I think he scampered off that way. He was scampering.
All right, that's Brian Regan with a piece called Flipper and Gentle Ben, taken from his album simply entitled Live. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net. Where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our last show with Tony La Russa. We also have a blog, a link to the new Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends, baby! There's also a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on our forthcoming guest program news and remind you when the next show will air here on WMNF. That's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to meet today's guest, Leslie Griffith, so let me quickly outline a few important details about her. As I touched on a few moments ago, she's been a print, radio, and TV journalist for more than 25 years. During her 20-plus year stint as a TV reporter anchor at KTVU in the San Francisco-Oakland market, she won 9 Emmys. She was nominated for 39 and did an award-winning piece on Ringling Brothers and its abuse of Asian elephants. She's also written about Ringling for such online outlets as Huffington Post and Truth Out. Ringling opens its Tampa engagement tonight, so much to talk about. So with a reminder, we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Leslie Griffith.
Hi, Duncan.
Hi, Leslie. Welcome to Talking Animals.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Well, there's lots to talk about here and not a gigantic amount of time, so let's just jump in. How did you first become interested in reporting on Ringling Brothers?
Well, I was anchoring a 5 o'clock broadcast and a 10 o'clock broadcast, both hours. They were an hour long, both of them. And someone said the circus was coming to town, and I used to teach my interns about reporting by doing a little exercise. I'd take them out into the projects where there'd been a shooting or something like that, and I would make them close their eyes and look around and then close their eyes and tell me what they saw, because I wanted them to give me things that they had seen that perhaps someone driving through town might not see, like the windows closed up on a day when it was 102 outside, nobody playing on the playground because the kids were scared, that sort of thing. So I judged my interns according to how well they were going to do on this test, so that's how I would decide who my interns were. So I decided to give myself the same test. I went out to Ringling Brothers in, I think it was 2004, 2003, and I saw the elephants for the first time, really. I opened my eyes and looked at them not as a child full of, you know, wonder with their cotton candy, but as a grown woman who was looking at a situation that was not pretty. What I saw when I erased all of my preconceived love of the circus and preconceived notions of what was going on at the circus and, you know, how privileged it was to have these exotic animals to be seen when people couldn't afford to go to Africa to see them or Asia to see them. I erased all of that from my mind, and I just took a look at the animals, and I was stunned by what I saw.
And what did you see?
Well, it was very clear that there was much rocking back and forth. It was, of course, open house day, so everybody was primed and doing their best to act very, happy, and the animals were happy, and everybody loves the circus and that kind of thing. They are told to put on a show. At the time, Troy Metzger was the person who trained the elephants, and of course, I've got a lot of pictures of him hitting them with the bull hook and that sort of thing, but he told me at the time that after I looked at the elephants and I saw some wonder dust, which is what I now understand what they put on the elephants to cover up the lacerations from the bull hooks, and I looked at this constant swaying and this neurotic sense about them that they had, and it was very clear to me that they were sick. Dark circles under their eyes. One looked emaciated. I know now that several were traveling with tuberculosis, and almost all of them have been exposed to tuberculosis, and it is the same type of tuberculosis that humans carry. So I don't know whether that's what I was seeing, but that's what got me interested in it. I asked Troy, I said, Troy, I introduced myself, and I said, I put the mic in front of him, and he said, we love these elephants like they're our children. And I said, well, Troy, why do I have pictures of you beating them? And at that point, Ringling Brothers officials grabbed me, and two of which, one of them said, one grabbed me by each arm and threw me out of the circus. They were just literally standing behind us. I was in Moscow during the Cold War, and it felt a lot like that. There were people waiting to throw me out. And one of them said, oh, Miss Griffith, I've been watching you since I was a kid. I'm so sorry that I have to do this. Mm. But that's when I knew I was really on to something. When you see a corporation like this, and you know what's going on in Washington, that nobody's paying attention to anything except, they've got enough on their plate in every other direction.
Sure.
So this is when corporations like this who have a tendency to sort of bend the rules really get out of control. And this one, according to their own documents, really has been doing a disservice to the public for about 15 years.
Yeah, well, I want to talk both about, some of the things that you're alluding to, the tuberculosis, which, as awful as the story is about the abuse of animals, the elephants and other animals, the tuberculosis story, I think, is far more sort of dark and underreported. But I guess let me also let our listeners know, too, this is Talking Animals on WMNF. We're speaking with veteran journalist Leslie Griffith about Ringling Brothers. If you'd like to join the conversation, offer a question or comment, please call 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@WMNF.org. So as soon as they kind of hauled you away from that interview, Leslie, I mean, that's when it's like, hey, I'm on to something major here. Was that when you?
There certainly was not an intention in my head to do anything but report on what was going on. I mean, I didn't know Kenneth Fell, the owner of Ringling Brothers Circus, and 30 other corporations, multi-billionaire. The circus alone makes $100 million a year, according to his testimony. He's being sued on several fronts for so many things. Such a nefarious situation you cannot even imagine. I mean, the deeper I got into it, the more stunned I was. Surveillance, planting operatives in PETA headquarters. Jan Potker, if people go online and type up an article called salon.com and pull up Jeff Stein's The Scary Circus and realize what happens to reporters when they report on something like this. They have a rapid deployment force, which was once headed by the third guy in the CIA, third guy to head the CIA, not to head it, but he was deputy chief, Claire George,
yeah,
one of the employees. And the sinister things that he did to anyone who tried to tell the truth about what goes on at the circus behind closed doors, all the dirty little secrets that are hidden from the public.
Sure.
Anyone who tried to report on it just got their careers ruined. I mean, it wasn't no small thing to take a chance and do it. So I applaud you for your bravery today.
Thanks. Well, one of the many questions I have for you later is how worried I should be. But we've got, not surprising, a phone bank of lit phones. Let's take a call or two, if we can, Leslie, to see what people have to ask you about in terms of this. Hi, you're on WMNF with Leslie Griffith on Talking Animals.
Yeah, I think the first thing to say is that what both of you are doing is similar to a 77-year-old lady I know who went to protest the war, and the police beat her down to the ground, injured her, and then charged her with a federal crime. The fact is that this whole world has a situation where the human species, or at least some members thereof, are bullies. They think that they can use all other living organisms like cannon fodder. Many of them think that they can use other humans as cannon fodder, depending on political views. So you guys are way more than you might think. You're not just animal liberationists. You're freedom fighters for all of the innocent, sweet, living organisms on the planet. Right now we're talking about animals, who cannot fight back against the juggernaut of death and destruction. There is absolutely no ethical or moral justification for a circus or a zoo. And I am so proud of you for standing up to these people. Yeah, they're bullies, and they're going to try and come after you like they already did. Just be safe and be careful, and know you are on the side of the creator of the universe who made all of the animals and plants and trees. And when you stand up for them, you're doing, quote, God's work. I really commend you for it, and I will pray for your safety.
Well, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Well, let me tell you one thing. In one of the lawsuits that's going on against Kenneth Feld right now and has been postponed for years and years and years, he's charged with abusing the elephants, and there's just no doubt that it happens. It's on their own footage.
Your piece, sorry to interrupt, but I mean, I just think this is so important. Your piece, and it's very easy to find that on YouTube, just, you know, search Leslie Griffith, Ringling Circus probably will get you there. And some of the footage in your actual produced piece is ringling footage, correct?
Right. They took it in hopes of doing good PR when they took Benjamin out to a Huntsville pond, a little 3-year-old darling elephant. I think Benjamin was 3. It's been a while, and I've been working on several different stories, but Benjamin was 3 at the time, and they took him out to a pond, you know, to kind of show him playing with his girlfriend, Shirley, and Shirley was obedient, and Shirley has had several babies. Ricardo died. Benjamin, her best friend, died in the pond. When Benjamin was called out of the Huntsville, Texas pond, and he didn't come, he was beaten with the bull hook, and then you see him float to the surface of the water.
I mean, to me, there's so many things in your piece that are obviously, just so upsetting, but yet illuminating. But I mean, really...
I want to tell you, Duncan, that one of the things that they say is that, and they have said in court that one of the reasons they can't release, they would not release, and the judge finally made them, the health records on the elephants, was because of my report that I was an animal activist. And I can tell you that with 2 Edward R. Murrows regarding, you know, child labor laws, the homeless, I am a reporter and not an animal activist, and never have been. I'm not a member of any group involved in that. And I want to make that very clear, because they frequently dismiss my stories by using that as a reason for it, that I have no judgment because I won the Genesis Award for this, which is from the largest award, a very big award that you can win nationally for exposing abuse of animals. So I appreciate everything the caller said, but I don't want to give Ringling another excuse for dismissing.
Right, to grab onto. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'd like to get another call here of the many here at the moment, Leslie. But one thing, I mean, you know, as you've kind of alluded to, we could almost do a whole separate show about what Kenneth Feld and his forces have done to journalists and authors who've done, unfavorable pieces or books on Ringling. To what extent did you have concerns about what might happen to your career or even personal safety as you were reporting this and then subsequently doing some other writing about Ringling?
Well, Duncan, can I, you know, obviously all of that is part of this story that as we, you know, you can peel it like an onion, and it's so unbelievably horrible.
Yeah.
But I want to stay on the subject of TB for just one.
Yeah, no, let's talk about the tuberculosis for sure.
I've been traveling for 15 years now. Think about this story. For 15 years, and I have emails from the investigators with Feld, writing to Feld's top veterinarians, saying, you know, there are 12 elephants that are sick now at our facility in Williston, and eventually, like, 26 of their endangered Asian elephants have died. Those are just the ones I could count from the emails of tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Now, once they've been in the same facility, they give it to one another. It is extremely contagious, and they are sending these animals who are one of the few animals in the world who can carry the same type of tuberculosis as human beings.
Sure.
And so one of the things that is most distressing is that in June, the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control, they both launched a $2.15 billion global response program. They said they were going to tackle drug-resistant tuberculosis. Concern was high, they said. And then, of course, Congress held hearings pertaining to how a single passenger on a plane could be drug-resistant and have drug-resistant tuberculosis. Well, I can tell you at least a small piece of that puzzle that epidemiologists were stunned at when I showed them these doctors, including Don Francis, who was one of those who helped discover HIV, and director of the Centers for Disease Control for AIDS. He said that there should be a disclaimer when these people go into the circus, because once these elephants have been exposed to tuberculosis, there is no way to tell if they are cured.
Right.
They cannot x-ray their lungs like they can a human being.
Sure.
So these elephants may have gone through all three series of drugs, and they are exposing, they have for 15 years off and on been, according to Ringling's own documents, been out on the road and exposing people inside the circus, especially people with compromised immune systems, little children, old people, the very people that they show their pictures of,
right,
exposing them to a disease that can kill them.
Sure. Well, I have more questions about that in the USDA, but let's try to take at least one or two more calls here in our remaining minutes. Hi, you're on WMNF. Hi, you're on WMNF on Talking Animals with Leslie Griffith.
Hello, great. Hi there.
Hi.
I'm on right now.
You sure are, sir.
Okay, perfect time for somebody to mention this, and I'll elect myself as the, I'm a manimal, native born. And if it turns out, as is being slowly revealed here, that, hang on a minute, I'm getting closer to the phone, so there's no radio in the background. If it turns out that the three kids that were attacked by that tiger were torturing or taunting it with slingshots. You know, a slingshot's what David used to kill Goliath in the Bible. And I bemoan the death of the tiger, and I congratulate her for taking care of one of them, but I'm sorry she missed the other two.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
Get me?
Yeah, I sure do. Thank you very much for the call. So Leslie, I mean, people interested in the tuberculosis and certainly the you know, the abuse of animals, whether they're just learning about it today or recently or known it for a while, I mean, just have to be curious, to say at least, how the U.S. Department of Agriculture, who supposedly are responsible for enforcement of the Federal Animal Welfare Act, has just routinely failed to take action against Ringling in the face of all these things. I mean, I don't think...
It's really remarkable, isn't it?
Well, I don't think of myself as wide-eyed anymore. I'm a little old for that and been around the block a few times. But, I mean, are we just talking that high level of corruption or
Absolutely.
Big dough payoffs? Or what's the story?
Well, I mean, it could be all of the above. I have no proof of it. All
yeah.
I know is that whenever there is a resourceful USDA inspector, and there have been two that I know of, and I won't mention their names because they'll get fired... when I have received their documents of their reports, they've been stunning. Elephants that don't have water because nobody wants to clean up their urine. Elephants who have abrasions that even the public is talking about. I mean, these animals don't do these things because they get a treat. They do these things because of some real negative reinforcement, according to the videos I've seen. And
it's fear.
Oh, it's absolute fear.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as you pointed out, and I read a very, very good article by you, an animal, a tiger, doesn't jump through a ring of fire. The Maasai in Africa, that's how they keep the animals away, the lions,
sure,
and the tigers. They're so afraid of fire. So, you know, if you really want to understand about corporate cronyism, here's one example. Kenneth Feld, one of his corporations is Disney on Ice, owned also by ABC. And is it Siegfried and Roy, or is that how you pronounce his?
Siegfried and Roy, yeah.
Yeah, one that was attacked by the tiger.
That was Roy, yeah.
Right. And I know that ABC did a story about how that tiger, I sat in the green room and I was stunned when I watched this, because they did 30 minutes or an hour on him talking about how this tiger was really trying to protect him. I mean, that people actually can buy this kind of publicity to that extent. ABC did that story without one person on the other side saying, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. I mean, and that was before I even knew what was going on. I remember thinking, wow, these people have, you know, infiltrated every area of our lives. They train the USDA about elephants. Fells does.
Right.
People train them. They invite them to their parties. It's so insidious. And again, see, this is what happens when nobody in Washington is watching.
Yeah.
And we're in two different wars on two different fronts. Corporations that tend to take advantage get more out of control. And I would just say that on these two lawsuits, write these judges and tell them, get these to trial, because they need, first of all, the first journalist who filed suit, Jan Potker, you know, you can't keep a journalist from telling a story. You can't sabotage a career. I mean, she now has MS and may not make it to her trial. It's been postponed since the early 90s.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's just, and MS is brought on often by stress.
Sure.
So it goes on and on and on.
And the sort of corporate coziness, which you've just addressed here and in a great Huffington Post piece as well, maybe elsewhere too, I mean, I guess that's sort of safe to say that maybe begets the corporate censorship, which, you know, prompted like the Siegfried and Roy piece you just addressed.
Well, you don't, it's not even, in that case, it's not even censorship. It's just cronyism.
Right.
They take care of each other. And when there's a story, I mean, you know, if there's a story, I know at my office that Fulbright and Jaworski lawyers, you know, flew into town the next day. And boom, threats like you wouldn't believe. And they say in their own statement, and I've got a copy of Ringling Brothers on their stationery, rapid deployment force. You try to get equal time. They will accuse you that you didn't call them. They would, you know, I would call them, and they'd say, okay, we'll do it at 5. They knew, of course, I had a 5 o'clock broadcast.
Mm.
I mean, all, you know.
So there's a whole handbook, I'm sure, of what to do.
There's a whole handbook on how they manipulate reporters in the press. And instead of course, the other way around, which is what they always charge.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm just glad that, I just hope that there is some resourceful reporter out there listening who understands the censorship story, who understands the First Amendment story, these profoundly important stories. The treatment of children at the circus has been documented in affidavits by people who have been there, rape. Animals, of course, being potentially exposing hundreds of thousands of people around the world to TB, spying
sure.
issues. How do you know, corporate cronyism, and then Kenneth Feld himself, who is just, I don't even know how to describe a man like that. I've never,
yeah.
I hope that the world is not full of corporations that are headed by men like that, because he will do anything to keep that money coming in, and
absolutely.
That means exposing those beautiful children sitting in the stands, just delighted, to tuberculosis.
Sure, and Leslie, since we're just kind of probably near the end of our time here, unfortunately, but along those lines, are you not sort of in the midst, or maybe somewhere in the process of writing a book that sort of deals with this whole sort of corporate coziness, corporate censorship?
Yes, I am. I'm writing a book called, at this point, I've got a title called Shut Up and Read, but I'm not sure that I'm going to keep that.
Okay.
But, yeah, it talks about what I, you know, you say you've been around the block.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically the growing up of, you know, from a wide-eyed young journalist who really wanted to just protect the public. That's all I ever wanted to do, was be
sure.
a public servant. And to a woman who understood how things really worked once the Bush administration took office, and even before then, in the FCC, of course, regulations that allowed six mega media organizations to own every conduit of information that we have.
Wow.
Every major conduit. Of course, yours is an exception. There are several exceptions, but they're only. And so, you know, I'm hoping some resourceful reporter will hear this.
Sure.
And keep it going because, you know, I feel like it's time for them to step forward now.
Sure, sure. Well, Leslie, we are sort of at the end of our time now, but I want to let people know that there's a website for Leslie's work and various media, LeslieGriffithProductions.com. And Leslie, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals and all your great work in all kinds of areas in the past.
Thank you so much, and I applaud you for doing this. I know you must have been a little concerned yourself, so I applaud you for it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and keep up your good work as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. It's Duncan Strauss here. It's Talking Animals on WMNF TAM. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our new MySpace. We're looking for some friends just like you. Make suggestions for future guests or topics and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a copy of the fabulous new CD by Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. There's sort of a peripheral connection here, which you'll see in a sec, perhaps. To the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. Okay, it's Name That Animal Tune on WMNF.
Johnny is a joker,
he's a bird,
a very funny joker,
he's a bird,
but when he jokes my honey,
he's a dog,
his joking ain't so funny,
what a dog,
Johnny is a joker that's a trying to steal my
Hi, can you name that animal too?
No, hi, Dan, I'm sorry, I wanted to call in and talk to Leslie.
Oh, I'm so sorry, well, thanks for calling, we'll hopefully have her on again sometime soon, thanks. Hi, can you name that animal too?
Bird dog.
That's right. Okay, what's your name?
Vinny Scully. Vinny.
Okay, Vinny, I'll put you on hold and I'll come back and get your information. Congratulations. We do have a winner, folks. So, all right. We have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. And the program airs twice a month. We'll be back next Wednesday, January 9th, when our guest will be Barbara Massey from Greyhound Pets of America. I hope you'll join me then. And please visit our website, talkinganimals.net. And while you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And here's a song that kind of evokes the sound of elephants peacefully lumbering in freedom along the tundra, not on cement, from a train car. All right, it's WMNF Tampa. Thanks.